With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Russell Wilson has voiced his frustrations with the Seahawks several times this offseason and has been the subject of trade rumors since. According to Michael Silver, roughly one-third of NFL teams have reached out to the Seahawks about the possibility of trading for Russ. But apparently, the starting point in any negotiation would be three first-round draft picks. Fox Sports NFL analyst Greg Jennings is now with us. Greg, you starting to think the Seahawks could actually deal Russell Wilson?
There is room for chance. I don't think it will happen this year, simply because this is an organization that has always had a plan going into every season. And unlike the Philadelphia Eagles, eating up all that dead cap money, or that dead money for Carson Wentz in that trade, I just don't see the Seattle Seahawks doing the same just to please Russell Wilson and then to get whatever they get in return. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't listen and field offers. Everyone's tradable, but there comes a point in time when you're trying to do something special. And as an organization, the Seattle Seahawks has always prided themselves into being a playoff team. And Russell Wilson gives them the best chance at doing that and repeating that success or stacking that success, if you will. And so regardless of how unhappy or what Russell Wilson's desires to have are, I believe that they will try to meet somewhere in the center and make a compromise to where Russell Wilson is getting what he feels he should get as far as the support from the organization. But by no means does that mean they're going to field all these offers and just say, yep, Russell, you can go wherever you want. We'll eat this dead cap. And no, that's not how it works in Seattle. That's never how it works in Seattle. And so for that reason and that reason alone, I don't see Russell Wilson in any other uniform this year other than the Seattle Seahawks uniform.
While I agree with your reasoning, G&J, I got to say it is more than possible that this could take place. Let's not forget the Jamal Adams trade. So they don't have a first-round draft pick in 21 and 22 draft. So if I can get me three first-round draft picks out of this situation, knowing that I have some young pieces in place, most notably DK Metcalf, if I would have to, I guess, hit the detonate button on rebuilding for the future for this Seattle Seahawks team, I don't see that being the worst decision ever if you get three first-round draft picks and have to figure it out this year, knowing that you unloaded the amount of money that's connected to Russell Wilson, and you're getting the opportunity to possibly replace it with either tradeaways, so you could get more picks off of that, those one picks, or you could get a player that can actually help transform your team. They hit with DK Metcalf. If you are able to trade for a quarterback that is serviceable until you develop a draftee, I look at it like it's more sensible, actually, where we're at right now, just purely based upon the position that possibly Russell Wilson put them in by making it public knowledge that he wanted more of a say, that he may not be totally happy with the decisions that are being made. So not based off of maybe their initial want, but what the given situation and scenario is that's present right now, I don't see it being egregious at all to see the Seattle Seahawks take a good, long, hard look at if they could get three first-round draft picks to not, you know, entertain that.
I see it as egregious, LeVar.
Okay.
Unless Russell Wilson goes into their front office and says, I want to be traded, trade me, then they shouldn't even be thinking about trading Russell Wilson. They have got a franchise quarterback, a future Hall of Fame quarterback, a Super Bowl winning quarterback who's 32 years old. And they're thinking about trading him? That's ridiculous. All right, when was there? Think of it. They have a better chance of improving the offensive line, of improving the defense, than they do of getting another franchise quarterback. You know when their last franchise quarterback was? Before
Never.
Russell? Oh, there wasn't
Jim
one.
Zorn.
Unless you consider Jim Zorn a franchise quarterback. That's how long it takes. And now you have him. This guy can be there for the next 10 years. And here's what Seattle has to fight against. Complacency. Because I think part of Russ's frustration is that he feels like they're complacent. They're satisfied just being relevant. Just being a perennial playoff team in the hunt. And they know that they've got these awesome fans who, as long as you're 10-6, 11-5, 12-4 every now and then, and thought of as a Super Bowl contender, those fans are going to be there in droves and they're going to be raucous. But Russ is saying, no, I'm not satisfied and I don't want us to be satisfied. So they should not be thinking about trading Russell Wilson. Yeah, you can get your three first round picks, but is that going to guarantee you a franchise quarterback?
Can I ask y'all a question? I want to jump in on y'all, and I want to ask y'all this question. We look at Russell Wilson, and no doubt he is a franchise quarterback, undoubtedly. But when you look at the most success that this team has had, and when they were dominant as a team,
I know what's coming.
You did not need a franchise quarterback to operate that team. You needed a guy who could hand the ball off, and you needed to watch your defense. You needed to not hurt your team because your defense was going to win the games for you, and your running game was going to make it easier for your quarterback to make serviceable throws. And if they made just halfway decent decisions, if Russell Wilson made halfway decent decisions, they were going to be fine because their running game was so significantly strong. So I ask you, if I could recreate that, and I look at what you did to get Jamal Adams, says to me that you're thinking about what you had in the old days, trying to bring in the running backs that you brought in, Hyde and those guys in the offseason. It says to me that you're thinking about going back to that old formula. I don't think that's egregious. You got to tell me, like, J-Mac, you jump Chris?
Hold on. Spoken like a true defensive player,
giving all the credit to the
Legion of Boom.
It's just the
truth. By the way, Tom Brady torched them in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, up and down the field twice for touchdowns. Nevertheless,
and still
you cannot
lost.
Move on from Russell Wilson. Greg, I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm surprised. You played with Aaron Rodgers. You saw what y'all had with Brett Favre. Green Bay has had franchise quarterbacks for, I don't know, 30 years now. My Jets never had one, okay? You lose Russell Wilson in Seattle, good luck finding another one. Look at Miami. Dan Marino leaves. Franchise quarterback, great there for 15 years. They can't find anybody. 20 years running, the Dolphins can't find a franchise quarterback. A couple things in life, when you find a great one, You just hold on. Find a great wife. You gotta do everything to keep her. You find a good barber. Look at LeVar's hair. Look at money today, by the way. Okay? You hold on to it. You find a franchise quarterback. Greg Jennings, you do not let him out the door. I don't want 4 first-round picks for Russell Wilson. He's untouchable. Bye. Wow. Talk to the hand. I'm hanging up the phone. There's no deal. Wow. I'm not giving up Russell Wilson. No way.
That's not reality.
Well, you're right, LeVar. That is not reality. That's not reality. But for me, and I don't think it's egregious. I'm not saying that that's the case at all.
These basketball dudes, egregious. Man. Thank you very
However,
much.
However, I just don't believe that is as easy and as simple as we make it appear.
No, I agree with that.
Make it sound.
I agree with that.
To Jason's point, like, you can't go out and just find a Russell Wilson. I'm not talking to Russell Wilson that we see to date. I'm talking to Russell Wilson that we saw coming out of college. Russell Wilson that has the type of character, the type of leadership skills, the type of ability to where he can just hold down the fort until he comes to point where he's mature in his ability. It's not as easy as we make it seem. And then when you talk about them trying to go back to what garnered their success or what rendered them some success early in his career, the Legion of Boom, let's not discredit how special those individuals were.
Thank you.
And that we think that they're easy to find. Like, I get it, LeVar, you can find some great quality guys, but a shutdown corner like Richard Sherman is hard to find.
No,
teams just don't have that guy. Even safeties, as great as Jamal Adams is, he's not what Earl Thomas was for that team. He's just not.
Well, give
They're
it
completely
some time,
different players.
I hear you. And I mean, Earl Thomas needs a Cam Chancellor. So, I mean, it plays back. So I agree with you. I agree with you on that. But again, I just will say this. All those things given, I understand. But this is a very interesting stat. In NFL history, no one has been sacked more in their first 9 seasons than Russell Wilson. If that doesn't give you grounds for pause to actually entertain it, if I can get 3 first rounders knowing that there's a possibility that one of these hits, it happened to one of the most elusive, greatest running quarterbacks of all time, and Mike Vick. It takes one time to get hit. Look at what happened to RG3. It takes one time to get hit. And then you know what happens? All that value goes away. And you're sitting there like, yeah, I did have Russ in the hand. But, man, I had 3 in the bush that I could have had. And I held on to the one that was in the hand because all this reasoning y'all giving. I just don't think it's egregious to think it through and maybe get 3 first-round draft picks for Russell Wilson. I think that's sensible. That's all I'm saying.
MVP in October, we're trading him in February.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
No,
hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
Mercy. Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before yesterday, the Lakers hadn't lost three consecutive games since August. But the Lakers continue to struggle without AD. And last night, the Wizards stormed back from a 17-point deficit in the second half to defeat the Lakers in OT. With 9 seconds left in regulation, LeBron missed a go-ahead free throw on a three-point play opportunity. LeBron played all but 1 minute and 6 seconds of the fourth quarter and OT. And after the game, he said, quote, "I think this whole narrative of LeBron needs more rest, or should I take more rest, or should take him out here, it's become a lot bigger than what it actually is. I've never talked about it. I don't talk about it. I don't believe in it." Fox Sports NBA analyst Rick Bucher joining us now. Rick, is LeBron losing his MVP case during this three-game slide?
For sure he's losing it. Now, has he lost it? No. As you guys have mentioned, there's still plenty of time to regain it. But the good news is that whatever he's losing in the MVP race, he's probably gaining in the most trolled player race. I would venture to guess that he leapfrogged Steph Curry in that battle after last night's game, because it wasn't just a missed free throw. It was the clank three that could have tied things up. It was blowing the assignment on Russell Westbrook and then compounding it by fouling him. If Russell Westbrook doesn't miss his free throw, he's essentially iced that game on the drive and the foul by LeBron that didn't stop him from scoring the bucket. And yes, it's only one game and it's in February, but these kind of games leave a mark because of the comedy of errors and the way it was lost at the end. Now, the problem that LeBron faces right now is that he's stuck. He's well aware that it's been 8 years since he's won an MVP. And I'm told that he does indeed want to win a league MVP, that would be another jewel in the crown that makes his case that he's the best player that's ever played the game. The problem that he has is, in those 8 years, a factor in his not getting it has been that he's taken time off. I have no idea what he's talking about. Like, I don't believe in it. I don't do it. Like, he went to Miami for a week in the middle of a season when he was in Cleveland at one point. What are you talking about? We don't have selective memory. So he's trying to make the point, I'm not tired. I don't need time off. But the reality is, everybody's talking about it because he looks tired. It's not just that he's playing heavy minutes, but he's not playing with the same energy. He didn't chase J-Mac. He didn't chase Russell Westbrook around the entire game, okay? Defensively, he's giving minimal effort there. But he's with a Lakers team that counts on him doing a tremendous amount and expending a tremendous amount of energy at the offensive end. He's essentially the only guy who can make plays for others and the only guy who can get to the rim and make a shot. So he's stuck, though. He really does need rest. He needs to dial it down. But if he does that, it is going to impair his MVP chances as it has in the past, and especially coming off of a game like the game that we saw last night against the Wizards.
Go ahead, bro.
I'm with you, Rick. And look, he's still very much in the race. I mean, there's 40 games left to go. Two of the other candidates, Joel Embiid and Kawhi Leonard, have missed a decent number of games, 6 and 7 games. Will they miss more? So he's in the race. But a week ago, many people had him out front. I had him out front. And it's going back and forth between him and Embiid. But he's no longer out front. He is now in the pack with the rest of the guys. Now, here's one thing that's working in his favor, Rick. This is an odd year, it seems, for MVP candidates. Giannis, Milwaukee's not winning enough games, right? So he's hurting. His chances aren't great. Nikola Jokic,
Nobody's giving him three in a row. Right. Not
after the playoff failures as well. But Nikola Jokic having a wonderful individual season. They're the seventh seed. That he's not getting it as the seventh seed. Dame Lillard, Steph Curry playing great, but are they winning enough? You know, Joel Embiid and Kawhi, as I said, I think Embiid is the front runner right now, but they have missed a lot of games. If he ends up missing 20 games in a 72-game season, that will hurt his chances. Same thing with Kawhi. So while LeBron has come back to the pack, just the landscape right now, you know, Utah's having a great year, but nobody views Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert any of those guys as MVP candidates. So that's the thing that's helping LeBron's case is that it is a wide open race right now, and he's still very much alive.
Yeah, you guys are also forgetting that the Nets are on fire currently. They're about to get Kevin Durant back in a week. They're going to pass Joel Embiid and the Sixers. So Embiid will come back to the pack because he's missing games, and they no longer can claim we got the best record in the East. I just think, Rick, you might have been a little harsh on LeBron. 31-13-9 in a loss.
Stop it with
that.
Thank
you. Thank you. He's doing everything, Rick.
If you're an MVP, you win the game. It's winning time. You get it done in crunch time. Look, Russell Westbrook won an MVP because he averaged a triple-double. Okay, fine. That's the exception, not the rule. You need to win games, and people are going to watch how games are finished and whether you're that closer. It's always been the criticism of LeBron when the measure is Jordan or Kobe. And so he can't afford to slip in that category, especially with AD out. That's just the reality.
He can't afford to slip. He can't miss a free throw.
I think that's sad. Slicks, you my guy, but I can't go with you on that. He was 1 point away from that. One rebound away from having that triple double in an overtime loss. Now I get the finishing point. But if we're going to focus in on...
We are talking about playing the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, but they have two players.
The Sixers. We're talking about the Washington Wizards.
They have two players. They have two prolific scorers on that team in Bill and Mr. Westbrook. I don't think we should just sneeze at the Washington Wizards. We should pay attention to the Washington Wizards, by the way. They're an improving team with some stars. But again, I look at LeBron and I say to myself, LeBron is playing the minutes. We know he's playing the minutes. Everybody wants to make him tired. Everybody wants to say he needs this time and different. I get all that. I think that maybe the loss is what is the biggest thing that pulls away from pushing him forward towards that MVP race voting deal and popularity of it. But the man almost had a triple-double. He's putting up production. He's putting up points. If you put those numbers and those stats on Kawhi Leonard, what are we saying right now? If we put those stats on somebody else that's in the race, if Harden put those numbers up, what are we saying right now? So the only reason why we're taking away from LeBron James right now is based upon them losing this game. Then all I would say is they have to figure out a way to win. But I don't think that that's necessarily focused in on why LeBron isn't the MVP of this team, because his stats say he did everything humanly possible for them to win the game.
Well, LeVar, I will say this. That is an issue here. Guys don't win MVP in a prism. Like, the fact that this team may not be good enough around him, that he has to do too much or that they can't win. I mean, Marc Gasol missed two big free throws. Not a factor. Montrezl Harrell, not a factor. He needs help from these other pieces, mm-hmm. and he's not getting it. And that's not on LeBron, but the truth is your team, again, Westbrook in the triple-doubles as the exception, you generally need a team around you that plays well enough that you don't have to do everything.
No mercy.
On Saturday, the former two-time super middleweight world champion Anthony the Dog Durrell returns and will face off against the rising Chiron Shut It Down Davis. Don't miss the action Saturday on Fox and the Fox Sports app. The nail biter between the Nets and Clippers on Sunday ended in controversy after Kawhi Leonard was whistled for an offensive foul on James Harden and what turned out to be the game-saving play for the Nets. Afterward, a frustrated Paul Pierce said, quote, "It's smart. They control the refs. They got the refs in their pocket. So kudos to the guys who are great at that part of the game." Well, the league is backing the referees' in-game decision, saying the call was correct. Rick Bucher, you think this Clippers team is mentally tough enough to contend this year?
I do, and it feels good to be back to beat up Jay Mack day as opposed to beat up Chris Broussard day. It feels like the universe is back on its axis the way it's supposed to be. I certainly believe that they are mentally tough enough, and I don't believe that their issues with the call are a reflection that they're not. Fact of the matter is, the referee who made the call, and again, I heard you earlier, Chris, I agree with you. I don't care what the league says. The referee who made the call could not see the contact. He was looking from the baseline. And I know he checked with the other referee before he made the call, but ultimately, he's the one who whistled it. He couldn't see the contact. He was guessing. And they tell the referees, do not guess on these. Look at the baseline call. Who's the referee who makes the call? Now, he glances at the other guy, but he can't see it. He's looking through James Harden's back. It's impossible for him to call that correctly. That said, I don't believe that it's mental toughness that's going to determine how the Clippers season goes. It's going to be selflessness. And that specifically when it comes to Kawhi Leonard, because what I've seen with them so far and saw it in their meltdowns in the bubble is that when they play through Kawhi Leonard, they play too slow. And as LeVar mentioned earlier, like it becomes too predictable. It's almost like take a number. It's my turn. Now it's your turn. The offense flows much, much better when they play through Paul George. And so Kawhi Leonard, if he wants to win again, he needs to get back to that lunch pail mentality that he had in San Antonio and even at times in Toronto where it's, I'm going to be the claw. J-Mac, you talked about their issues closing games and defensively closing games. Big reason is that Kawhi Leonard accepts switches all too easily. There's not even a screen set. The guys just pass, and Kawhi passes off the most difficult offensive player to guard. I want Kawhi Leonard utilizing his defensive ability and concede that the offense is better run through Paul George. I don't know if he's willing to do that because as we've seen with so many stars, LeBron went through the same thing. I think KD is looking for the same thing in Brooklyn. Oh, so I've won rings, but I won rings by somebody else's design. It was their blueprint. I want to go win a ring and I want to do it my way. Well, my way is not necessarily the best way. And I think for this Clippers team, they need to shift some roles and accept that if they're going to get the most out of what they have. I don't know if they have enough to get it done, but that has to happen if they're going to have any chance.
J-Mac, go ahead, since he called you out.
Well, no, I mean, listen, Rick, I understand what you're saying. I guess my issue would be, you know, Montrezl Harrell left town, and then all of a sudden you hear the stories about, well,
Listen, this team didn't want to practice last year. They adjusted everything to cater to their stars, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And that grit and grind narrative they tried to build, remember, with Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell a couple years ago, that's out the window. What is the identity, Rick, right now of the LA Clippers? Like, you can't
honestly
tell me what it is because they don't have one. This is a team right now that's kind of like, hey, as you said, let's throw it to Kawhi Leonard. Let's do slow on offense. Last year, the identity was supposed to be they're dogs. We're gonna stop you. And I gave out the number. They're dead last in defensive rating in the clutch minutes this year in the NBA. Worse than everyone. Like, what is their identity? What is the Clippers' identity?
But let's not forget that we had the shutdown for 3 months, and then Montrezl Harrell had some personal issues with his grandmother dying that when he came back, he's an energy guy, and he was clearly out of shape. He was not a factor for the team in the bubble, and maybe that whole grit and grind reputation was a little fugazi. It wasn't legit. I honestly like this team and its composition much better than I do last year. Serge Ibaka is an upgrade from Montrezl Harrell. He's experienced. He's more skilled. He's more level-headed. He doesn't play on emotion the way Montrez does. And I believe that Luke Kennard is a huge, huge upgrade from Landry Shamet. Landry Shamet was knocking down shots left and right until you got to pressure situations. You can count on Kennard, or at least they've been able to so far, in terms of having up and down minutes, but being ready to knock them down when you ask him to play that role. So, again, I don't know if they're good enough ultimately to get it done. And you make a fair point. Like, I don't know what their, what their brand is at this point. But I do like the composition. And I do like the fact that last year, everybody anointed them from the very beginning. When Kawhi and Paul George got there, they were suddenly the team to beat. And they hadn't accomplished anything. And they seem to be reading those press clippings. They seem to believe that themselves without having to prove it. Now they're in a different category. Now everybody, no matter what they do, is going to doubt them till the very end. And I believe that that's going to work to their advantage.
They don't. Their brand is a finesse team with a lack of leadership. That's what it is. And what that looks like in terms of mental toughness, that verdict is still out. But again, if you're going to be a finesse team, I think of the Houston Rockets. They were a finesse team. Clyde Drexler, finesse. Hakeem the Dream, finesse. But you had Mario Elie. You had Vernon Maxwell. You had some dogs out there that were really willing to get dirty with it. I don't see that with this Clippers team. And I don't see the leadership that you would have saw from Clyde Drexler or from Hakeem Olajuwon. This is a team that is a finesse team that doesn't have dogs to go with their finesse and doesn't have leadership, Chris.
I think one thing you guys are doing, the detractors, LeVar and Jay Mack, you're looking at what happened in the bubble against Denver as that's who they are.
Okay.
And granted, that happened. They dropped that 3-1 lead. There's no doubt about it. They didn't want to be in the bubble. But that should not stain them and define them going forward. Steph Curry dropped the 3-1 lead. Kevin Durant dropped the 3-1 lead. James Harden has dropped the 3-1 lead. We've seen LeBron struggle at times in the finals. We saw Magic Johnson. Like, I can point to virtually everyone who had moments like Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers had during the bubble last year against Denver. So I'm not going to define them by that. I think they have the opportunity to change that narrative. No mercy.